Morning. Today's daf in Baba Basra is Peiches. We are starting today in the Mishnah on Pei Zayin Amud Beis. Let's begin. Shlech es beno etzel chenvani. You're sending your son to the market, and you're going to buy some oil, and you're sending it with your son. Your son over here is not old; he's really young. Let's call him a minor. The Mishnah later on will describe him as a tinok. So, and it's not steering the Mishnah between the beginning and the end of the Mishnah, meaning he's a small kid. And it was really irresponsible of you the father, to give him the money and, you know, to expect him to go and successfully come back. And the Mishnah tells a story which may sound familiar. So Madalo, what happened is he went to the mocher, he went to the seller of the oil, measured out for him. And remember, he had a pundayan in his hand. A pundayan breaks down to two isarim. So Madalo be isar shemen. So he gave the mocher, sold him an isar's worth of shemen, meaning basically half of the amount of money that he had. And so he made change for him. So in other words, so came to the mocher with a pundayon, came back with an oil valued at an isser, and change of an isser. So in terms of honesty, everyone's good. Here's the problem. It's a very simple one. The Mishnah goes on to relate. On the return home, so the child broke the jug of oil, and also lost the coin. It lost the isser coin that the mocher gave to him. Okay, so now, poor child. He's not going to have a good with his father when he gets home. But in other words, but he's a child. So who bears liability over here? So there really are two candidates in terms of who bears liability. One, of course, is the father to begin with. In other words, that was irresponsible on the part of the father. And another person who bears responsibility is a mocher. So who's going to bear the brunt of the liability, of the financial liability? So the Mishnah is going to bring down a machlokas. Chenvani chayev. So the Mishnah tells us that the chenvani, the store owner, is the one who's going to be chayev. And Rabbi Yehuda poter. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the chenvani is not going to be chayev, but rather it's going to be the father who's going to have to bear the liability. Shamanaz ken shalcha, because that's why the father sent the son. Exactly what that means, stay tuned, we're going to be discussing that in the Gemara. Now here's where the Chachamim are going to acknowledge acquiesce to the position of Rav Yehuda, and that's the following. Let's say the child always maintained his hand on the jug, meaning never handed the jug over to the mocher, so he held on to it the whole time. So under those circumstances, and the seller of the oil just simply poured it into the jug that was being held by the child the entire time, even the Chachamim say under those circumstances, the store owner is going to in fact be exempt. Okay, much to discuss in the Mishnah in terms of who should bear the brunt of the liability. It really shouldn't even be a debate. Meaning, if you think about it, so who really is at fault over here? I guess there are two sides to this. But in other words, from the simplest, there really are two sides from it. But that's from the simplest standpoint, in other words, the father was the one who really showed a lack of responsible action, handing over his son money, handing over his son a jug, expecting his son, again, it's not an adult son, it's a minor, expecting his son to responsibly do exactly what he's told to do. So it really all starts with the father, right? So why is the Mishnah presenting two sides to this? Why is there a debate in the Mishnah between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda? Okay, so obviously there's a lot that needs to be explored over here in the Mishnah. Let's begin the discussion with the Gemara right away. Is there a minimum age to be a shliach? You have to be an adult. I mean,
so the kid is not a shliach
to the father. Yeah, so in terms of finances, I tell you where it gets a little bit fuzzy, because in terms of finances, there is an underage ability to do business. So, right, the Gemara describes it as pe'utos, meaning that 10, 11 years of age, when the kid knows how to make sense. I mean that both literally and figuratively, with pun intended. So if the kid knows how to make sense, so the kinyan does serve as a kinyan. I'm still going to say, although I'm not saying it with a lot of confidence, I'm still going to say that in terms of being a shliach, you have to be an adult. Okay, and for our purposes, let's just keep it nice and simple, meaning he's too young to be a shliach. That's the easiest way to say it, and it's correct, meaning he's too young, he's a minor. So Bishlam of Itzav Hashem and Baha Pligi. So the Gemara says, look, as relates to both the coin and the oil, so the Gemara says, I know what they're debating. Meaning, now the coin and the oil were both produced by the mocher. I mean, the seller of the oil actually handed the coin and actually handed the oil over to the kid. So the Gemara says, look, I hear the debate over there. How do you hear a debate? Because the Rabbanan Sarve Lo Du Shadre, Rav Yehuda Sarve Lo Shadur Le Shadre. Because really what the Chachamim and the Rabbi Yehuda are arguing about is, why did the father send the son? So the Chachamim are of the opinion that the father sent the son for no other reason than purposes of information. Meaning what the father wanted the son to do is just simply inform the mocher, hey, my dad wants oil. That's it. And then, as Rashbam explains over here, and then it was the mocher's responsibility to get somebody responsible, a grown-up, to go and to deliver. In other words, and he should not have taken the money from the kid, and should not have handed the oil to the kid, and that's a Chachamim's position. So therefore, when the mocher hands it over to the child, both the oil and that change that he made, so that was the mocher's fault and liability, because the son's job was just for purposes of information. And Rav Yehuda says no, that the son's job was to serve as a shliach, to act as a shliach, and so therefore the mocher is not going to be held liable. So the Gemara says, so from those standpoints, I understand the debate. Gemara says, fine. So, but elatzluchis, take out the word shavar. Don't take it out, but we'll skip the word shavar. Elatzluchis, but let's talk about the jug itself. Meaning the jug, there really should be no debate by the jug. What happened with the jug? What's the story behind the jug? It's very simple. The jug belonged to the father. Father handed it to his minor son, and the minor son then effectively breaks it. Now, it's true, in the interim, the minor son handed the jug over to the mocher, to the seller. Seller filled it with oil, handed it back to the son. That's all true. But as far as the jug is concerned, that started with the father. And so therefore the liability should really go back to the father. Why is there a debate regarding the jug in terms of whether or not whether the mocher is or is not going to be liable regarding the jug? It's a very strong question. The Gemara states the question, the way the Gemara phrases the question, but as far as the jug is concerned, that is the father's careless action. You're losing something on purpose. It's the father's careless action. So therefore the father for sure should be held liable for the jug. Good. Amar Voshi Hachababal Habais Mocher Tzuchis Haskinen. So now, to this very strong question of why are we even debating whether or not the Mocher should be responsible for the jug, liable for the jug. So the Gemara is going to give four different ways to present this. So this will be number one. Amar Voshi Hachababal Habais Mocher Tzuchis Haskinen. So the Gemara says, well, we're going to contextualize the case. We're going to give a little more detail to the case. In answer number one, we're going to say that the father himself was Mocher Tzuchis, meaning he was the seller of jugs. And now, when the jug is being handed by the child to the seller of the oil, really what the seller of the oil is doing is maybe making a purchase, perhaps. Meaning, knowing that the father of this child is a seller of jugs, and now that the jug is being handed over to the Mocher, Mocher now is looking at it, oh, interesting. And I know your dad sells these jugs, so now I'm going to look at it with perhaps the chance of buying it. And the Gemara says, and Shmuel's of the opinion that if you take a kli from a craftsman in order to inspect it with the thought of perhaps buying it, so and then while it's in your hand, it breaks, so then you're going to be liable to have to pay for it. To put it succinctly, you go into stores, you hear this sometimes you'll see it on a sign, and that is, you break it, you pay for it. That started with Shmuel, meaning the statement of Shmuel is that you're in a store and you pick something up and you're looking at it, and then while in your hand you break it, so then you have to pay for it, then you're going to be liable for it. So the Gemara says, and that could be the machlokas now between the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda.
Assumption is the guy is being negligent?
Just one second. I'll get to it. That's the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda. Tanakhama is of the opinion that, like Shmuel, where once the mocher picked up the jug to inspect it, perhaps with the chance of buying it, so now it effectively becomes his. I said too much. I back up just a little bit on what I said. So once the mocher picks it up to look at it with the chance of buying it, so now he's going to be liable. And that means that under the course of now, he breaks it. Now when I say he breaks it, either he breaks it himself or him handing it to a minor kid and the kid breaks it, it's the same thing. And therefore the mocher is going to be held liable. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. And Rav Yehuda doesn't subscribe to Shmuel's position. And the Gemara doesn't like this answer now because, and we'll just read the Gemara's rejection very simply, Lamed Shmuel Tanaihi. Well, then the problem, of course, becomes now that the statement of Shmuel turns into a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda, and the Gemara says, and we'd rather not. meaning we'd rather not have a statement of Shmuel. Nobody argues on the statement of Shmuel, at least not that we know about. And even if somebody did, from Shmuel's standpoint, he wouldn't want a statement to be subject to a machlokas tonight. So the Gemara says, I don't like his answer, only because then it turns out that his statement is a machlokas tonight. And the Gemara says, so therefore we're going to try to move on to a different answer in terms of explaining our Mishnah. Okay, let's just for a moment now pause and consider the statement of Shmuel. The Gemara later on is going to be discussing it in more detail. So today's daf is this statement of Shmuel. Shmuel says that you're in a store and you pick something up in order to look at it, to investigate it, to inspect it, and then you break it, you're a chayef. You are now liable for that which you broke. Now, at the time you pick it up, you're now what? What are you at the time you pick it up? That's basically Ben's question, and that obviously deserves an answer, meaning you have to have some sort of status at the time that you picked it up. So Tosfos over here debates this very issue. I'm giving the highlights of Tosfos. We're going to take the fast pass in Tosfos. I'm just giving the highlights. So Tosfos over here really has basically two positions in terms of what you are at the time that you pick it up. Tosfos says in the very beginning, the Tosfos divar amascha alokeach, alokeach li mebeis ha'oman, amanas levakav, ananas biyado chayev, lichora. Lechora means ostensibly, meaning Tosfos says, look, I don't know this because the Gemara doesn't say it straight out, but ostensibly, nira dechai, mishum dechashiv kishoa. So one possibility, says Tosfos, is that at this point in time now you're a borrower. You're a shoa. Now we know, a shoa has liability. So if I borrow something from you and now in the course of me borrowing it, I break it, so I have to pay for it.
But you're not a real shoa because you cannot really use it until you buy it.
Right. You should be able
to use it if you want.
Agreed. Trying to give a label to this person is difficult. And you'll see. In other words, within Tosfos, he debates. The Balei HaTosfos debate exactly what the status is. Mm-hmm. So, but to call yourself an owner right now, at this point in time, is a little bit premature.
Why not the Shomer Chinam? Shomer Chinam meaning the owner, the store owner says, here, take a look at it, but watch out.
The problem with the Shomer Chinam is that you're going to be chayv even for onset. Meaning, Shmuel's statement is that even if you're an ones happens in your hand, you're going to be chayv.
So that's Shomer Chinam, no?
No. Shomer Chinam, you're not chayv an ones. So you're not, even Shomer Sachar is not going to be chayv an ones. Right. The only one who's going to be chayv an ones is a Shoah. Right. So, okay. So Tosfos starts off by saying that what you are during this interim period of picking up and inspecting it is that you're going to be a Shoah. Okay. And Tosfos has a lengthy debate in terms of whether or not that's supportable, not supportable. And if you just skip along ahead in Tosfos, and I'm now moving to the sixth wide line of Tosfos, Mirashi Pirsh Bamitsiya. On a parallel Gemara found back in Bamitsiya, this takes us back some time. So the Gemara there in Bamitsiya says Danansa Balicha Chayv Mishum Dechashiv Kilokeach. So Rashi back in Bava Metzia says, you know what you are at this point in time during this interim period? You're a lokeach. You're a buyer.
Kelokeach.
Okay, I understood. Meaning, all right, you didn't pay for it, and in other words,
the buyer, then why do you have any liability?
Right, and meaning the owner, he didn't hand it to you. Meaning there wasn't a, like a Gemara's Das, like a full cognizant, you know, transaction occurring. Agreed. He's saying kilokeach. But, in other words, you're more like a buyer than you are that of a borrower. And then Rashi, and then the Tosfos goes on to discuss whether or not Rashi's position is supportable or not supportable. So basically, within Tosfos, you have two ways to describe what you are during this interim period while you pick up the item. Either you're a shoal or you're a lokeach. Either you're a borrower or you're a lokeach. Now, you have to say one of those two because you're chayfonis. Meaning, even for something that happens that are beyond your control, right? You pick up an item, someone bumps into you, and the item now falls. That's onus. And Shmuel says, and good, and now you have to pay for it. You break it, you pay for it. So that's an onus, and you're going to be chayv. So what are you? So again, you're basically two approaches in the Rishonim. It's in Tosfos. Your two approaches in the Rishonim is basically either you're a shol or you're a lokeach. One of the two. And see Tosfos for more details on this.
It makes sense in the sense that you're going to have to pay for it because you acquired it.
Yeah.
Or you're supposed to return it as it was.
Right.
And if you cannot return it as it was, then it's yours.
Right. As a practical difference, by the way, between these two approaches, so let's say during this interim period, let's say you moktish it. So if you're just a shoal, you have absolutely no right to be mocked or something you borrowed. If you're lokeach, you can be mocked. Meaning there, you know, it's a very interesting debate in terms of what you are during this interim period.
Maybe that's the proof, I'll just let you know, lokeach.
Right. Again, so whether you can or cannot be mocked also is not perfectly clear through the Gemaras, and Tosos discusses and debates that point as well.
They kill it, yeah. It's
right.
Really, yeah,
okay, very good. All right, so that's approach number one in the mission. The Gemara doesn't like the approach, so again, the storyline is very simple. The storyline remains the same. Dad handed the son a large coin of pundayon. Son went to the mocher. Mocher then gave, and presumably, son came with sluchis in tow, handed to him by his father, meaning the son had the jug in his hand. And then son went to the mocher. Mocher gave him an isser's worth of oil, and then gave him also an isser coin of change, because that's the correct change that he received. On the return back, the kid broke the jug, lost the oil, lost the coin, went 3 for 3 on breaking and destruction. And who's going to be liable? So the Chachamim say that it is the mocher's liability, and the Rav Yehuda says that it is the father's liability. And what is the Nekuda Machlokas regarding the jug? Meaning, as far as the coin, as far as the oil is concerned, mocher's liability. And again, the debate is very simple. What was the purpose of the child going? Informational or actually as a shliach? Good. But as far as the jug is concerned, the Gemara is trying to wrap its head around what could possibly be the debate regarding the jug. The jug started with the father. The mocher had nothing to do with the jug. So why should the mocher have any liability for the jug? So what we offered is, as a first suggestion, well, maybe dad was also a seller of jugs, and when the mocher took the jug, he looked at it to inspect it, perhaps with the chance of buying it, and the Gemara doesn't like that answer, that approach, because then it turns out that Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim are arguing about Shmuel's rule, and we don't want that. So we move on to number two. Ella, Rabbi Rav Yosef Dami Tavai Acha beChanvani Mocher Tzuchis Askinan. We're talking about where the Chanvani, the store owner himself, is a seller of jugs. Va'azda Rav Yehuda Latamei V'Rabban Latamayu. Meaning, we're just going to change a detail, an important detail, and that is the jug didn't start with the father. The jug started with the Mocher, with the Chanvani. And not only did it provide the oil, but he provided the jug as well. So the Gemara says, well, if you're right about that, so we have a seifa. But the Gemara says, but that can't possibly be, because look at the second half of the Mishnah. Modim chacham le Rav Yehuda b'zmasha l'suchas bi'alatina kumadar chanvani l'socha shechanvani potter v'ha amart lo du'i shadrei. Well, I don't understand. The Mishnah says, well, if the kid held the jug the whole time, and the jug was never handed over to the chanvani, to the mocher, to the seller of the oil, so then even the chacham are going to agree that dad's going to be liable for the jug. The Gemara says, wait 1 second. Didn't you just tell me that we changed the detail and that really the jug came from the Chanvani himself? So if that's true, so then what difference does it make if the child's holding on to the jug? So the Gemara says, okay. Strike answer number two.
Is the child supposed to have das?
No, the child does not have das. So Ella Abaye bar Avin Rav Chanina bar Avin Dami Tavaya Hachav b'may Skin. So the Gemara gives a third approach, a third possible suggestion. Kigon Shenat Lalamod ba Ukid Rabba. The Amar Rabba Hikishin is Chayev ba. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the scenario goes like this: son comes in to the merchant with a pundayon coin and a jug in his hand. And what the merchant did is he took the coin and he made change, because he only gave an isser's worth of oil. So he made change and he gave him a second isser. And he also held the jug in order to measure the oil. Now, when Rabba's rule is that when you... Well, let's go to Rabba's case, and then the Gemara is going to try to extrapolate from the case to our case over here. The Amar Rabba, he kishin is chayav ba. Rabba's of the opinion that if you hit it, so you're going to be liable. What's that talking about? So once again, we go back to Bab Metzia, and the Rashbam reminds us of what we learned back in Bab Metzia. Hamotzi Aveda, you find a lost item, so you have a mitzvah, a responsibility to return it to its owner. However, that's not always. If you're a zakim v'ein lefi kvodo, if you're an elderly person, and it's beneath you to return it, so you have a legitimate patur, you have an exemption, and you do not have to return it to its original owner. However, the Gemara Bava Metzia tells us the following. Let's say you see someone's animal, and you're a zakim v'ein lefi kvodo, and you're an elder, and you have a legitimate exemption. And then what do? You hit the animal, and the animal starts running. You no longer have an exemption. Right?
Is the zaken supposed to be like osik at the mitzvah?
Now, from the time that he hits it, he's going to be. Oh,
before that, he just has an
exemption.
What is the reason for it? Just because of his age?
Torah says so.
But he's not doing anything that he's not doing any other mitzvah that.
Doesn't matter. No. He has an exemption. So the Torah says so. Torah says they say so explicitly. The Gemara learns it out through a drasha, but that's the halacha. Covered abrios, I guess you could file it under. But once he hits it, so then he's going to be liable. So that means here's what the Gemara is trying to suggest, that the hitting of the animal is tantamount to the chenvani, the merchant, taking the jug from the child. Gemara says it's a bit of a stretch. The Gemara dismisses this in one line. The Gemara says, "Amadama Rabba Babale Chaim de an ketinhu nigra bereyasa ki aygavna miamar." Gemara says, "Look, you hit an animal. What's the animal going to do? The animal is going to start running. So now you were the zakin, you were the elder. What you should have done is nothing. Meaning, if you wanted a patur, if you wanted an exemption, so you should have just walked right by. You have an exemption from having to return it to its owner. But once you hit the animal now is going to start running. So now, not only did you not help, you made matters worse. The animal is going to be running away. So now, you clearly did not, you didn't employ the exemption. You got to now, even though you're an elderly man, you got to run after that animal. Over here, we're talking about a jug. It's an inanimate object. Just because the merchant picks the jug up out of the child's hands and put it back to the child's hand is not the same as a zakin hitting an animal and the animal starting to run away. There, you're really hurting the cause of the owner. That's why you're going to be held liable. Over here, you take the jug out of the hand of the child, you hand it back to the jug, and now you're going to be held liable. Even according to Rabba, the Gemara says no. It can't. I don't imagine that we can get from point A to point B. So the Gemara says, okay, so the Gemara didn't like that answer as well. Ella, Amar Rava, so the Gemara now is going to give a fourth approach, and the Gemara will seemingly like this one. Ella, Amar Rava, Anivari, Shebacharu, Targaminu. Me and the lion in the Chabura, in the group. Umanu Rabbi Zera. And the Gemara identifies him as Rabbi Zera. Hacha Bama Iskinan, we are discussing the following scenario. Kagon. Shenadla Lamor Bala Acherim. Ah. So the Gemara gives now the following detail. Extra detail in the Mishnah. I'm the mocher, I'm the seller. So what do? So I take the jug out of the child's hand, and I say to the kid, hey kid, just wait 1 second, okay? I'm a great jug. Now remember, the jug is empty. Great jug. Do me a favor, kid. Just sit there, wait. And then what you do is you start using the jug to measure for other customers. So now you are making usage of the jug without the child's permission, and let's be honest with each other. Even if you have the child's permission. So he's a child. So in other words, basically what you're doing is you're using someone else's equipment without asking them for their permission. This is what's called in halacha eshol shalom idas. You are borrowing something without permission. So halachically, what are you doing? Something wrong. that we can say clearly. But let's be even more clear. Meaning, okay, you're doing something wrong. But halachically, what status do you have? Here are your two options. Either you're a shoel, meaning even it's not a good shoel, but halachically you're a shoel, or the other option, of course, is that you're a gazel, meaning you're using somebody of somebody else's property without their permission. That's called thievery. Now, I could easily see both sides of this machlokes, meaning I have no intention of keeping it. I'm just borrowing it. I'm going to give it back. So again, to start off with, you shouldn't do that. But even though you shouldn't do that, but you're not a thief, you're going to return it. So on one hand, you could say that he's a shoel. On the other hand, the other side of the argument, I can also hear very easily as well, which is, he didn't give you permission to use it. So you're making use of somebody else's property without their permission. You're a thief. So the Gemara says, that's the case in question over here. And the Gemara says, and the machlokis in the Mishnah, between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, is exactly this point. What are you when you borrow somebody else's item and use it without their permission? Ovishol shalami das kemiflagi. Just give me a second, let me just finish reading. Mar savar shol havi, or mar savar gazlan havi. So one says that you're a shol, and the other one says you're a gazlan. So according to the Tanakhama, will identify you, the mocher, as a gazlan. Therefore, when you take the jug and you hand it back to the kid, now you're going to be liable because you're a gazlan. As a gazlan, what should you have done? What do you need to do? you need to return it back to its original owner. And until that point in time, you're not going to be exempt. That's why you're going to be liable. A Mashenkin, according to Rav Yehuda says, look, it's not right what you did, but you still know better than a Shoel. So as a Shoel, you took it from the kid, you hand it back to the kid, you're no longer liable. Yes?
So what's the problem? You didn't hand it back to the father?
Yeah.
When you hand it back to the kid, it was an irrelevant act.
Yes. Yes.
If
you're a Gazan. Yes.
Is there any significance by the act of handing it back to the kid?
So no.
He doesn't have any debt.
Right.
Or what you really haven't accomplished anything.
Right. So it would be tantamount. In other words, if you're a Shoel, let's say I had your permission to borrow this. So if I picked it up from over here and I put it back over here, I'm good. So if I took it from the hand of the kid and I hand it back to the kid, I'm good. Right? If I'm a Shoel.
But you're still liable for it because there's no significance behind your act of giving it back.
It
doesn't really count for anything as of now.
Okay. I do hear your point. Okay, but that's the way the Gemara presents it?
Okay.
Fine. All right. Adkan. Okay, so Machlokis in the Mishnah between the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda in our scenario. You gave the kid money. The kid went to the Mocher. Mocher told the Mocher, Dad wants oil. So again, the basic debate the Gemara says between Tanakam and Rav Yehuda is, was the kid meant just for the purpose of information? Was the kid actually intent to be a shliach? And that's going to make all the difference whether or not the Mocher is going to be liable or not liable. And that explains very well the money, and that explains the oil. What about the jug itself? The jug originated from Dad, so why should the Mocher have any liability for the jug itself? So the Gemara gave four different ways to try to analyze and explain the debate regarding the jug. The Gemara landed on the fourth and seemingly the one that presents the best way to explain the debate, and that is that the Mocher took the jug, used it himself for his own personal usage, and then handed it back to the kid, and then it's a question of whether or not a Shoel Shel Midas is considered a Shoel or is considered a Gazlan. Good. That ends the discussion of the Gemara over here, and we mentioned Shmuel, so the Gemara wants to go back to Shmuel, and the Gemara is going to discuss Shmuel's halacha. Shmuel's halacha is that you're in a store, you pick up an item with the intent of buying the item, and then something happens, and even if it's beyond your control and you break it, you have to pay for it. You break it, you pay for it. That's Shmuel's rule. So, Gufa Amr Shmuel, Anoto Klimana Oman Lavakro, Venanas Biado Chayev. So, an onus happens as you're picking up the item to inspect it, and then it drops, you're going to be chayiv. Vehani mi luhu dekitse dameha. The Gemara over here adds an important detail, and that is that you're only going to be liable in a situation where you know how much it cost. If you did not know how much it cost, you're not going to be held liable in the case of onus. Let's take a look at the Rashbam together over here. Behind him, the Rashbam is the second long line on the Amud, and the Rashbam writes, "Behind him, the Tikitza Damer, she Damav Ketzutim Kegon Rechaim Shel Pilpulin Ushar Kelim Ketanim." Okay, Rashbam gives examples. Small pepper mill. Okay, I guess small pepper mills from the Rashbam was an absolutely known, a known quantity. You know exactly how much it cost. Shar kelim ketanim or other small kelim. Shedarkam la olam la seis be pashut. Okay, in other words, those are very clear in terms of how much they cost. Okay, uven nedarim. Now, here's what bothers the Rashbam. We have the complementary gemara to this, a parallel gemara to this, running in the gemara nedarim, and the Rashbam already mentioned that earlier. It's in the nedarim daf lamed aleph. So, and the gemara nedarim. Quote Shmuel's rule, you break it, you pay for it, but with a kind of a different detail. Meaning, our Gemara says that the important detail is the cost is a known quantity. That's our Gemara. The Gemara Nedarim doesn't exactly say that. The Rashbam here quotes the Gemara Nedarim. Uve Nedarim ukil al hadash mo betara charifa uve davar shalochim koftsim alav deina nala mocher belakicha so shel ze dahar beyimsa koftsim. Umishim dahan also shalokeach he havalei halokeach kishoal alav. Okay, so the Gemara Nedarim says that the what is going to make you liable is only in a case where the product that you pick up to look at is a hot commodity. Hot meaning it's going off the racks. People are coming in all the time to look at it and to buy it. And so therefore, when that one customer comes in, picks it up and looks at it, he's doing you no favor. Meaning, because, look, Mr. Customer, could you please put it down because there's somebody in line waiting behind you, or if you don't want to buy it, so he's ready to buy it. So he's doing you absolutely no favor by picking it up and looking at it. He's not making it more interesting to anybody else around. People want it already. The Gemara Nedarim says only under those circumstances, Shmuel's rule, if you break it, you pay for it. And by the way, on the issue that I mentioned earlier this morning regarding what you are at the time when you pick it up, the Rashbam over here says very clearly, you're a shoal, meaning the Rashbam agrees with one of the opinions quoted earlier, that I quoted earlier this morning.
Why don't you kill a calf? Because you're acting like a buyer that's standing in line.
Okay, I understand. I mentioned earlier, there's two ways to look at it. The Rashbam clearly looks at it as a shoal. Okay, umechai ba'onsa. V'tanya hasen b'braisa kavasei. Dikitani nansu ba'licha chai b'chazor. Patum imneshu kenose sachar. V'nira be'inai. Delav daf kenose sachar. Diimken lo lechai ba'ones. Ela b'geneva v'aveda. V'tanya mishu. Okay. The Rashbam deals with the fact that the Gemara over there says you're nose sachar. The Rashbam says you can't take that literally because nose sachar is not going to be chai v'ones. And we know that you are chai v'ones. So the Rashbam just simply says, again, you're a shoal. Okay, but so basically what the Rashbam says is you have to take both of these factors into account. Meaning basically, Shmuel's rule that if you break it, you pay for it. Really, you have to know the Gemara in Baba Basra, meaning our daf today, and you have to know the Gemara in Nedarim. Meaning, yes, you're going to be liable, but only under the following circumstances. A, our Gemara, where the price is known, and B, the Gemara Nedarim, where it's flying off the racks, where when the guy picks it up, he's doing you no favor by taking it and looking at it. So the Rashbam says, really, both factors are critical in terms of Shmuel's rule of you break it, you pay for it. Okay, that's the Rashbam basically trying to look at our Gemara and the Gemara Nedarim and basically putting the two together. Hau Gavra, we're back in our Gemara, we're halfway down on Peiches Amud Aleph. Gemara tells the following incident. Hau Gavra, no, I skipped, yes I did. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm telling myself to back up. Where I last left off. Okay, there are two stories back to back. Hau Gavra Da'ala Beitavcha, there's a guy who went to the butcher, Agva Atma Debisra, and he takes a big piece of meat. Bahada Dika Agva Asa Pirsha Mirma Mine. And while holding onto a piece of meat, and again, he's looking at it, he's inspecting it, thinking about buying this nice piece of meat. And then while picking up the big piece of meat, so along comes a bird swoops down and rips the meat out of his hand. Clearly a case of ones. But again, we have Shmuel's rule. Shmuel's rule is, you break it, you pay for it. Over here, you didn't even break it. And your circumstances are beyond your control. But that's exactly Shmuel's point. Also, the comment to Rav Yemer, Chai v'lishlomi damea. So the matter came in front of Rav Yemer, and Rav Yemer says, okay, you were holding it at the time, you must pay for it. But the Gemara says over here again, it has to be where the price is a known entity, a known quantity. Second story. How Gavardai Sikari Lefum. He was liable.
Because the price was known.
Yeah, right. Yes. Okay, you could be right, and it could be that the quantities, like we described earlier in the earlier couple days ago, it's a gilui milsa. But so then you're not going to be liable. How gavra daisi kari lefom nara? There was a person who was bringing cucumbers to from nara. Asakule amashako karakara. And people just came and started. Each one of them picked up a cucumber for themselves. Okay. So Amar Lahu Harehain Mukdashim Lashamayim. So the guy who came into the town with all these cucumbers was so frustrated. Everyone's just taking a cucumber. Like, what's going on over here? How do I make all this stop? I know the answer. I know the solution. And what he said is that whatever anyone's cucumber is holding in their hands from my cucumbers, so it's mukdashim l'shamayim, they're hektish. He declared all the cucumbers hektish. So also coming to Rav Kahana, the matter came in front of Rav Kahana. Amar lo ein adam makdash avashen shalom. So Rav Kahana says, well, it doesn't belong to you anymore. Meaning the fact that they all picked it up with, again, the intent to steal it, or maybe just to inspect it in order to buy it. But Rav Kahana says, it no longer belongs to you. And again, the Gemara makes the same exact detail, which is that the only way we're going to say that doesn't belong to you is when all those people who picked up the cucumber knew how much it cost. So by them picking up the cucumber, so it says it's tantamount to them. Again, you could say either they bought it or they're a shoel. Either way, under those circumstances, it's not totally yours. In a case where the price is unknown, so then anyone who picked up the cucumber, they have no shaychus to it, it's not theirs, it's still yours, and then you could in fact be makdishit. Tanu Rabbanan. Gemara quotes a brisa. Halkech yarek min ashuk ubire vihiniach afilo kol yam kula lo kano. Let's say you're in the market and you're just picking up vegetables, you're inspecting it, you put it back down, and you do this all day. So you have not made a kinyan and you're not chayv and meiser. Now, gamar belibo liknoso, kind of an ischayv and meiser. However, you pick it up with the intent of buying it, so at that point in time now, it's going to be chayv and meiser. Now, the wording over here of chayv and meiser is a little bit strange. Meaning, your chayv and meiser wasn't the store owner already chayv and meiser? All right, so the easiest way to say it, very good. So the easiest way to say it is that the store owner is an Am Haaretz, and so that means now that you know that when you buy produce from an Am Haaretz, you have to take off meiser. Tosus over here points out that's an easy way to say it, but it does have its own little bit of difficulty and issues. Because we know the rule is that when you take from an Am Haaretz, so the Maaser Rishon you set aside, but you don't have to give it to a Levi. Hamotzi Mechaver Olavaraya. And the Maaser Ani you take off, but you don't have to give it to a poor person because Hamotzi Mechaver Olavaraya. And maybe our Gemara is just talking about Maaser Sheni. Okay. It gets a little bit complicated. Okay, but for our purposes right now, we could just keep it simple and just, in other words, focus on the idea that with the intent of buying it, you bought it. And if you don't have the intent of buying it, so you didn't buy it. Okay, now, lahach zero, you have shishakar nischayv b'maisa. So now, you pick it up with the intent to buy it. Now, here's the problem. You can't put it back down now because once you had the intent of buying it, so now you're chayv b'maisa. And now you're going to give it back to the owner after you have an obligation to meiser. So now what? So take off meiser. Take off meiser. So then when you give it back, you're not giving back the full amount. You took off a percentage. So you're a little bit stuck. So haketza, so what do you do? So what you then have to do is you take off meiser, and then in the event that you want to return it, you return it and you have to refund whatever meiser you took off. Okay. Perhaps you were thinking about the Gemara's next question, which is, okay, you thought about buying it. Okay, that's very good you thought about buying it. A thought does not complete a sale. So, right. So what's going on over here? So, I'm Rav Oshia. So the Gemara says, yeah, for you and me, or I'll just speak on behalf of myself. For me, so you're right, a thought is not going to be enough to complete the sale. But for somebody who's a real Yerei Shamayim, meaning someone who is so God-fearing that he knows in his heart that he took it with the intent of buying it. So for that individual, picking it up with the intent of buying it completes the sale, at least for him. It finalizes the sale because he knew he was going to buy it. Kigon Rav Safra. Dikimba Nafshei V'dover Emes Bavavo. Gemara says, I'll give an example of somebody who is such a Yerei Shamayim, and that is Rav Safra. Rav Safra was such a Yerei Shamayim that when he completed in his mind that he was going to buy it, so then the sale has been finalized. The Rashbam over here brings down an episode of Rav Safra. Havakari Kriya Shema V'Amrle Ahu Gavra. I'm reading the Rashbam. It's the last Rashbam before the next Mishnah. Have a kari kriya shema v'amrle ha'ugavra havli askech bekach v'kach ma'os. Rav Safra was saying kriya shema. The guy didn't realize that Rav Safra was saying kriya shema. It's kind of funny how he didn't realize it, but whatever. And the guy was trying to negotiate with Rav Safra where Rav Safra was saying shema. And he saw that Rav Safra was not happy with the way negotiation was going. At least that's how he perceived it, because Rav Safra wasn't responding. So what he kept doing after Rav Safra didn't respond is he kept offering more money. Yeah. And Vesavra Demishum Miyudamim Have Shasik. It's a beautiful story. And Rav Safra, at the end of Ishma, so, and maybe one also at Shimon Esrei, but whatever. At the end, Rav Safra says to the guy, look, your first offer, I already agreed to your first offer. I didn't say I agreed to your first offer, but I thought it. And again, he was such a Yari Shamayim that he stuck with his thought, his thoughtful act of, I'm ready to take your first offer. And even though the guy was ready to offer more money, Rav Safra says to him, no. Already your first offer, I was in agreement to it. So such an individual, so when they have the intent of buying it, so that completes the sale. Okay, Dover Emes Bavavo, beautiful. All right, let's start the next mission. Let's start the next sugya. Hasiton mekanech midosav echel l'shoshim yom, ubalabais echel l'shnim asar chodesh. Okay, the next Mishnah and the next coming sugya coming up, it's a beautiful sugya. It's about fair weights and measurements. Okay? The end of today's daf, which I don't think we're going to get to, talks about the importance of fair weights and measurements. It is extraordinarily important that when doing business, when conducting business, so you must be fair in your weights and measurements. In fact, as we're going to learn in just a couple of minutes from now, not only do you need to be fair in your weights and measurements, you actually need to always favor the buyer. And you actually have to not only be fair, you even have to give him just a little bit extra. We'll talk about how much that little bit is going to be in just a moment. But in other words, but in the very least, you need to be fair. So, so basically now, you're going to be measuring wine in your cups. Now, you're going to be measuring. You're going to be measuring for the next customer and for the next customer. And basically, what's going to end up happening is there's going to be a small accumulation of the wine, and you're going to be measuring for somebody, but because of that small accumulation, you're not going to give them a fair measurement. So, hasiton mekanech midosav echel l'shoshim yom. So, if you're a sinton, which means that you are a large distributor, so you need to wipe it down once every 30 days. Balabais echel l'shem asar chodesh. Balabais only needs to do so once every 12 months. The Gemara's thought process right now is that the balabais does not do a lot of commercial activity, and so therefore there's not a lot of accumulation. The seton, who does a lot of commercial activity, so there's more of accumulation. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Amar Chilaf Advarim. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, I just see it's exactly the opposite, meaning that the seton, because his equipment is in constant usage, so therefore it's not a buildup. And Masha Enkin, when the balabais, because it's not a constant usage, there will be a buildup. Okay, so it's an interesting debate, but the idea is exactly the same idea. Meaning, don't let your equipment get built up, because then you will be cheating the next person you're measuring for. When it comes to the actual merchant himself, meaning he's in between. He's not the big commercial distributor, and he's not the balabais. So he's in the middle. So mekanech midosa pamayim b'shabbos, he does it. He wipes his measuring cups twice a week. Umemachem ashkalosa pamachas b'shabbos. In terms of his weights, so you give your weights a good scrub down. Make sure there's no accumulation of the weights. So again, it's fair weights and measurements, and you do that once a week. Umekanech maznaim al kol mishkal mishkal. And in terms of the scale, the balance, so you gotta wipe that down between every weight. That's only when you're measuring liquid. But if you are balancing dry, so then you don't need, does need to wipe down every time. Now, when you're waiting for your customer, so you would think that, in other words, what would be fair? When it's balanced. Meaning, if I'm selling you a pound of flour, so then you want the scale to be nice and balanced. The Mishnah says no. You don't want it balanced. In fact, you want the scale to tip in his favor. How much is the scale going to tip? A full tefach. Which means that whatever you're weighing for him is going to drop a tefach below the counterbalance. Now, I know from a geometric standpoint, it does matter how long the scale is, and that actually will make a difference. I understand that, but the basic idea is that literally, you say this with pun intended, you got to tip him. meaning towards the customer, that his actual product is lower than the counterbalance. Now, if it's an equal balance, so then you got to give them a little bit more. Now, the Gemara is going to point out, well, if you're supposed to tip the scale, so how come the Mishnah is now describing what if the scale is balanced? We're going to discuss that in tomorrow's daf. Let's just finish the Mishnah. If the minhag is to measure with lighter weights, you measure with lighter weights. If the minhag is to measure with heavier weights, you do so. Limchok lo yigdosh, ligdosh lo yimchok. And if the minhag is to heap up when you're measuring, to give heaping amounts, so then you should be giving heaping amounts. If the minhag is to give level amounts, so then you give level amounts. So for those things, you follow the minhag of Medina.